الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Alhamdulillah, the month of Zulhijjah is upon us, and this is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed this ibadat of Hajj. Many Muslims will be going to Baytullah Sharif, to the sacred places in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Tayyibah, and they will be going there with a lot of hope and expectations and feelings. And in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this teaching that the believers are brethren to one another, which means that we're supposed to have empathy for each other. We're supposed to feel for each other. In a hadith, the Prophet said that the ummah is like a single body, and if one part feels pain, the other also feels that pain. And in a similar way, that if one part feels joy and passion and power, and the whole body should feel that. The entire ummah should feel that. So we are taught in the Quran, in Ahadith, that those who are not able to give, who are not able to go for Hajj, the non-Hujjaj, they should also be feeling these days of Zulhijjah. We should be feeling these days like the month of Ramadan. And even the non-Hujjaj, which is all of us, we should also be feeling these days, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, just like we feel Ramadan, just like we enter Ramadan. All over the world, when Muslims, they enter Ramadan, we feel Ramadan. There is an awareness that this month of Ramadan has started. We feel Ramadan, we feel the fast in Ramadan, we feel the Taraweeh, many, many things. Many, they feel that this is the month. Just like that, every mu'min, every believer, whether they're going for Hajj or not, they should be feeling these 10 days of Zulhijjah, just as much as someone feels Ramadan. And this is a teaching of Fardeen, which unfortunately has faded over time. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is a month which is still honored with full fervor and passion in the Muslim world. But these 10 days of Zulhijjah, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, they pass by us without us realizing their importance. And many of us, we are so distant that we spend these 10 days like an atheist would spend a Ramadan. We're completely unaware of the importance of these 10 days. So it's very important that we should have a heightened sensibility of these 10 days, and we should completely be aware of these days. Now, why are these days so important? The reason is because these are the days of the season of Hajj. If you look in our society, you know, we have our seasons as well. There's a holiday season. And when the holiday season comes, the whole season is based on going to the store, purchasing gifts, buying gifts, and you talk to each other and you ask each other whether have you bought the gifts or not. And then we look at the stores, and when you go there, you see that they reduce their prices in honor of these holidays. So one of the essential things that you see on such days is that the products, they go on sale. There's a clearance sale, holiday sale. So they know that if they have a decent price, then people will come and purchase those gifts. And that's why you find that during this time, many people they go to stores and buy because of these deals that are there. There's a Christmas sale, Thanksgiving sale, Halloween sale. So different days have different special deals associated with it. And people go because on these special days they can get a discount. So every society, every culture, they have their own days. And for us, we also have our days, we also have our season. And our season is also very important. But the importance of our season comes, it's based on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the varying level of different mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah sends on particular days. And these first 10 days, which are right over us, right upon us, these are a set of days which are very, very special. Very, very special. In fact, the whole month of Zulhijjah is very special because Hajj occurs in this month. But within this month, the first 10 days are very special. So, first thing we need to understand that why are they special? Of course, it's not that we determine that they're special, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that they are special. So the first thing which we understand about these days that comes in the Quran itself is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these days, wal fajr wa layalin ashr. And we should understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, Allah ta'ala only takes oath of His great, great creations. We are only allowed to take an oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not of anyone or anything else. But these 10 days and 10 nights of Zulhijjah are so Mubarak, they're so blessed to Allah, that in Quran Allah ta'ala takes an oath showing us how extremely great these days and these nights are. So hence we need to ask ourselves this question, that do we even regard these days and nights as great days and great nights? So mashallah, like I said, that people regard Ramadan as a great month and they give attention to the great days of Ramadan and the nights of Ramadan. But the majority of us, the majority of the ummah, we don't give too much attention to these days of Zulhijjah and these nights of Zulhijjah. We don't increase our ibadat. We are not making dua. And many of us, we are not even able to abstain from sin. Whereas the reality is that these are extremely great days and nights, which must be respected and honored. Then there are several ahadith mubarakah where the Prophet ﷺ has informed us about additional virtue of these days. So the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith mentioned that there are no set of days where acts are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. So the Sahaba Ikram, they were really shocked because they had a that heard the Prophet speak so highly of many other deeds. So it comes that the Sahaba Ikram, they asked the Prophet that even jihad, any wouldn't a person doing jihad will be more valuable than what occurs in these 10 days? And then the Prophet said that not even jihad, except that an individual, he left his family and his wealth and never actually returned, meaning he was martyred in the path of Allah. So this is a hadith which comes in Sahih Bukhari Sharif. And the principle which this hadith is highlighting for us, which the Prophet ﷺ is highlighting for the Ummah, is that these 10 days are very, very special. And in these 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts deeds and rewards them in a very special way. That no set of days are more beloved to Allah Ta'ala, where acts are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. And then for people anyone, for people like us who want to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want to increase in our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it befits us that we should take advantage of these days, because these are the days of Allah. And any act that we do to please Allah, that act will be most beloved to Allah in these 10 days. So that's an incredible virtue. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to these days, where the Prophet ﷺ is informing us that Allah ta'ala loves that his servants to engage in ibadah in these days. And there are no other days that Allah loves more for his ibadah than these. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is arhamur rahimeen, and truly Allah ta'ala's mercy is widespread, it's far reaching. Allah ta'ala does not wish, does not want that there should be anyone deprived of his mercy. And this is an opportunity for all of us, that yes, the Hujjaj might be there in Makkah Mukarramah, and they might be able to partake from the great ibadat of Hajj. But for those who are not able to go for a Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us also an option, also an opportunity through which we can also partake from Allah's mercy. All of us, we know that the momentum is building up in Makkah Mukarramah. People will be increasing, even with the global pandemic and the social distancing and all the restrictions which are out there, but the momentum is still building. And people will be coming, and they will be engaging in different ibadat. They will be reciting the talbiyah, labbaik allahumma labbaik. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his endless mercy, has given the entire ummah a resemblance to the Hujjaj, that each one of us has been given this opportunity, that we can also partake from that barakah. We can partake from that barakah that the Hujjaj will be experiencing. Then in the second hadith, another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are no days where deeds are so weighty and so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. So again, this is highlighting for us the greatness of these days. But then in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ took it one step further, and the Prophet ﷺ gave us a practical advice and said, so increase your tasbihat, your la ilaha illallah, your subhanallah, your alhamdulillah, and your Allahu Akbar in these days, in these first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And increase these tasbihat. Now this hadith is very important, because not only is the Prophet ﷺ telling us the value of these days, how beloved, how great these days are, and how beloved these days are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Prophet ﷺ is also taking it one step further and telling us that what actions we are supposed to do in order to maximize from the barakah of these days. And telling us very specifically that these are the deeds that you should be doing in them. And one particular act which is encouraged is that we increase in our tasbihat. So for us, this is now going to be very essential, because it is telling us, number one, how special these first 10 days of Zulhijjah are, and number two, how we can maximize on these days. One particular practical thing to keep in mind is that we should increase our tasbihat. These tasbihat of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and La ilaha illallah. We can make sure that after every fard salah, we read our tasbihat. That's how we can inculcate this hadith. That after every fard salah, we recite 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. And if we do this for the salah, for the five salah, then, and if you can do this for these 10 days, it will have two benefits. This is important for two reasons. One is that you will get the tremendous reward for doing these tasbihat in these particular days, because now that you've heard this hadith, right? And number two, that if we inculcate these tasbihat in our daily routine for these 10 days, then we can hope that because of the barakah of the consistency of doing these over these 10 days, that inshallah Allah Ta'ala will give us the tawfiq that we can do it for the remaining 355 days of the year as well. So it is very important that we take advantage of this opportunity. When the Prophet ﷺ is making these types of advices, there is a very special hikmat in that advice. First advice is that we are being reminded of the value. And second advice, the amal, the practical deed that you should do. So there are many good deeds that you can do, but in this context, the Prophet ﷺ is establishing that you should read and increase your tasbihat. And this has another benefit, that we can, by reciting our tasbihat, we can enjoy some similarity with the Hujjaj. The Hujjaj would be saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, and we, even though we'll not be engaged in talbiyah, because the talbiyah, this labbaik, is exclusive for those in ihram, those who are performing umrah or hajj, but we have been given another form of zikr that carries tremendous weight and draws this immense reward in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And what is our zikr? This zikr, these tasbihat, subhanallah. And for those who know the third kalima, when we were young, we were taught and we memorized the third kalima. What is the third kalima? Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. It's a combination of these four phrases. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So we should try to increase this kalima in these days. And inshallah, if we occupy ourselves in this way, our hearts will also incline towards the Hujjaj. And our hearts will incline towards this great event of Hajj, which is unfolding as we speak in the sacred land of Makkah Mukarramah. Very fortunate are those people who might be, wherever they are, might be in the US, in South Africa, in India, in Pakistan, in UK, in their own countries, but their heart is in Makkah Mukarramah. Their heart is in Madina Tayyibah. So alhamdulillah, the Prophet ﷺ has defined for us what the ibadat, one particular ibadat we should be doing in these 10 days. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now to share with you some examples of how our Salaf Salihin, the Sahaba Ikram, used to do amal on the zikr. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that he would increase in his tasbihat, and they would go to the marketplaces in order to recite these tasbihat. Allahu Akbar. This is the best tasbih. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. But we should recite this tasbih not just with our words, but with the feelings in our heart. We learned this when we were young. But we're now supposed to recite it not just with our tongue, but we're supposed to recite it knowing the meaning, understanding the meaning of what we are saying, and by feeling those meanings in our heart. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are two phrases, kalimatan, two words which are very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're very easy on the tongue, very easy to recite them, but they're very heavy in weight in the balance. And they are Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Doesn't take so long, but a person can decide this and they can draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can get a lot of reward by reciting this. So we have to recite this kalama, increase in our recitation, but we should recite this with meaning, with ikhlas, and this then inshallah will have a great value. Then let me mention two or three fazilat of this tasbihat that we are supposed to increase in these days. In one riwayat, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are some kalimat that if a person recites them after their fard salah, then that person will never return empty-handed. And those kalimat are that after every fard salah, they recite Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. So whoever recites these kalima, that person Allah will not return that person empty-handed. Means that then that person, if he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, because of the barakah of these tasbihat, will accept that dua. Now this is such a big fazilat. Then another riwayat, the Prophet was once with some muhajirin Sahaba Ikram who were not so wealthy. They came to the Prophet and they said that, Ya Rasulullah, our wealthy companions, the wealthy Sahaba, they have taken the lead from us. Because of their wealth, they spend that wealth in charity, they give sadaqah, and we don't have that wealth, so we are not able to compete with them in that way. So then the Prophet ﷺ said that, shouldn't I tell you an amal? That if you hold on to that amal, then no one will be able to take the lead from you. Yani you will be able to win this race. And no one will become more afzal than you unless they also start doing that same amal. So the Sahaba Ikram, they said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us, please tell us, what is that amal? And then the Prophet ﷺ said that after every fard salah, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. So those muhajirin sahaba ikram, they started doing this amal. But in meanwhile, the wealthy sahaba ikram, they also learned about this. And they also started increasing in these tasbihat. So again, the muhajirin, the fuqara, sahaba ikram, they came to the Prophet ﷺ and said that, Ya Rasulullah, our wealthy companions, they also heard that teaching and they have also increased their tasbihat. And then the Prophet ﷺ replied that this is the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who can stop the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If they're also reciting these tasbihat, then Allah will give them reward as well. And if we understand from this hadith that so saying these tasbihat can become a replacement and alternative for sadaqah and khairat, for spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In hadith, in another way, the Prophet explained this and said that if there is a person who does not have the strength to worship at night, do qiyamul layl, to occupy himself with worship during the night, and that person does not have the strength to spend in the path of Allah, maybe that person is stingy, and that person does not have the ability to go out in the battlefield and fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person should try to recite Subhanallah wa bihamdihi in abundance. Because this kalima is so weighty in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's so weighty that a person who spends charity worth Uhud mountain, reciting these kalimat will be more weighty than spending all of this charity where it's Uhud Mountain in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you look at the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you're not able to do Qiyamul Layl, if a person doesn't have the ability to spend in the path of Allah, they are stingy, and a person doesn't have the ability to go out in the cause of Allah, then still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't, Allah ta'ala has given us a way out. Allah ta'ala has given us an amal that, okay, if you cannot do all of these things, just recite these tasbihat, and these tasbihat will give you so much reward. And another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever recites this kalimat, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and La ilaha illallah, after every salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of that person, no matter how much those sins are. Even if they're the amount of the foam of the sea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the barakah of these kalimat, will erase all the sins of that individual. These tasbihat are also important, especially for those who are weak in their iman or very busy in their dunya. So then one hadith, the Prophet Hazrat Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions that I came to the Prophet and I asked that, Ya Rasulullah, I'm aged, I'm weak. Can you tell me some amal that I can just sit and do on my own? And the Prophet ﷺ said that recite Subhanallah 100 times. And the reward that you will get on reciting this is as if you freed 100 slaves in the path of Allah. And recite Alhamdulillah 100 times. And the reward for this is as if you spend a lot in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You aided in this fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And recite Allahu Akbar 100 times, and it's as if you sacrificed 100 camels in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those camels were, that qurbani was qabool. And recite La ilaha illallah 100 times, and the reward for this is it's going to fill the entire distance between the heavens and the earth. And there is no greater amal which is maqbool in the sight of Allah Ta'ala than this. So this was about Hazrat Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha. Similarly, the wife of Hazrat Abu Rafi radiallahu ta'ala anha, her name was Hazrat Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she also once came to the Prophet and she also made a similar request that, Ya Rasulullah, tell me some small shortcut wazifa that I can recite. And explicitly she asked that, tell me something which is short, which is not so long. And the Prophet ﷺ told her that recite Allahu Akbar 10 times. So this is now a concession. First hadith was 33 times. Here, just 10 times Allahu Akbar. And whoever recites Allahu Akbar 10 times, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Ta'ala will reply to you. Allah will respond to you and say that this is for me. Then the Prophet ﷺ said to recite Subhanallah 10 times. And on reciting this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again answers that my servant recited this tasbih for me, for my sake. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, recite Allahumma ghafirli 10 times. That, oh Allah, forgive me. And then Allah ta'ala says, yes, 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 I've forgiven you. Yes, 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 I've forgiven you. So this is about Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Yani, the Prophet is creating ease for all of us, for those who are weak, for those who don't have so much time, for those who are busy, who cannot engage and occupy in long ibadat, mukhtasar, small shortcut wazifa to increase these tasbihat of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Umme Sulaim, third example, Hazrat Umme Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha, another very famous sahabiya, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked a similar question that Ya Rasulullah, that teach me a teaching through which I can make dua to Allah Ta'ala after my salah. Yani, I want to make dua to Allah Ta'ala after my salah. Teach me some kalimat using which I can make dua to Allah. And the Prophet said that recite Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 10 times each. And after that, ask whatever you want to ask from Allah Ta'ala. Ask whatever you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will reply, Allah will answer and say, yes, 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 I've accepted what you're asking. I've accepted your dua. All of this just for reciting these tasbihat 10 times after every salah. So if 33 times for difficult, 10 times is so easy, it doesn't even take 10 seconds. Hardly takes 10 seconds. 10 seconds Subhanallah, 10 seconds Alhamdulillah, 10 seconds Allahu Akbar. And then after that, make dua, whatever dua, and the Prophet was saying, Allah will accept your dua. This is the ease in our deen. Our deen has, this is the mercy. This is Arhamur Rahimi. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want any person to be deprived. That's why these shortcuts, this ease has been given to us, has been created for us. And one of the famous hadiths about these tasbihat, which many people know, is these tasbihat are known as tasbihat-e Fatimi. And there is a context, there's a story for that as well. And there is a lesson we can learn from that story. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to one of his students that, shouldn't I tell you the story of me and my wife, Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha? And he said that, please tell us. And then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, my wife Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would do all the household chores herself. As a result of which, she would become extremely tired. And the women can appreciate, right? When you do household chores, you have to wash the dishes, you have to clean the room, you have to do several things. As a result, you become tired very easily. And this is back then, 1400 years ago, when you had to do everything with your own hand and you don't have any helper with you. So she had to bring the water and she had to give the jhadu, she had to clean the dishes, she had to clean the clothes. All of that made her very extremely tired. And once the Prophet had some helper, some khuddam, so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sent Hazrat Fatima that go and ask the Prophet if we can also have one khadim, one helper who can assist us in these household chores. So Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came to the Prophet and she saw that there are many people who have surrounded the Prophet. So she didn't feel it was appropriate time to approach the Prophet with this request. So she went back. But the Prophet noticed that she had come. So next day, the Prophet himself went to the house of Sayyidina Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha and asked that, Fatima, you came yesterday to my house. Why did you come? And she was silent because of her haya. She didn't speak. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu then spoke on her behalf and said that, Ya Rasulullah, she came because she has to do these household chores, because of which she becomes extremely tired. And she wanted to request you for one helper, if you can assign one helper who could assist her in doing these household chores. And at that, the Prophet said that, Fatima, said, have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue to do what you're doing. And I will teach you one amal. I will teach you one amal. And if you do this amal, this will be better for you than the helper in this dunya, than any khadim, any extra help in this dunya. And that one amal is, and this is the what we need to learn from this hadith. That one amal is that when you lie on the bed to sleep at night time, when you intend to go to sleep, then recite Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. And Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, she accepted this and she said that, I'm razi with this. And she made this her practice, her sunnah, her adat, that every night before she went to sleep, she would recite these tasbihat. Now, what is the principle that we learn from this hadith? Imagine the Prophet ﷺ, Hadith Fatima, she was the beloved of the Prophet ﷺ. She was the beloved daughter of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We are so sensitive, right? When it comes to our daughter, our own family members, we don't want to harm them or hurt them or make it difficult for them in any way. And here the Prophet ﷺ is telling his own beloved daughter to recite these kalimat instead of taking extra help from an helper. And another riwayah, it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ also instructed the Ummahatul Mu'mineen with these tasbihat, that before you go to sleep, recite these tasbihat. And these tasbihat will have the ability to lessen your mushakkat, the tiredness, you're feeling tired. If you recite these tasbihat will remove that anxiety, will remove that tiredness from you. Now, this is something which a person rationally, outwardly, apparently may not be able to understand. Right, that you know, here I have to do all the household chores, and that requires mujahida and effort and hard work. And when I go to the Prophet ﷺ is telling me to just recite these tasbihat. That would require even more mujahida now, that do all the household chores. In addition to that, now recite these tasbihat as well. So apparently, we may not be able to understand this, but there is a hikmat here. Number one, the Prophet ﷺ was diverting attention away from this dunya, the worldly dunya, to akhirah and the reward of akhirah, the blessings and the bounties of akhirah. That if you recite these tasbihat will be a treasure for you in akhirah, will give you nafa in akhirah. And in addition to this, another reason why the Prophet ﷺ advised this was that where these tasbihat have the potential, have the ability to help a person in akhirah, in the same way these tasbihat also have so much barakah that they will help a person even in this dunya as well. Even in this worldly life, dunyavi manafi, in these worldly things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah, Allah ta'ala will help that person, will help that person in achieving their worldly task. This is the barakah of these tasbihat, because these tasbihat are praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the kalam through which we are praising Allah ta'ala. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. And towards the end of time, when Dajjal will come, it's mentioned in a hadith that the nourishment of the believers will be these tasbihat. The believers, they will just recite these tasbihat, and these tasbihat will be the nourishment when the Dajjal will come. People will feel hungry, they will recite Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, their hunger will go away, their thirst will go away. So from this hadith we are learning that even in this dunya, without eating and drinking, just simply doing the zikr of Allah Ta'ala through these tasbihat, this is possible, and this can be a source of nourishment in this dunya. And this will be given to even the normal ordinary believers at the time of Dajjal. So if ordinary believers will get this ni'mat in the time of Dajjal, today in this zamana, in our time period, if anyone makes this the habit, they can also get extra special strength in this dunya. That is why it's written that our akabareen, salaf salihin, they would increase these tasbihat, and these tasbihat would suffice for them in this dunya. And when we say that these tasbihat would suffice for them in this dunya, this also means that mushakkat, that mujahida, that tiredness that a person feels in doing the work of the dunya, that tiredness will also go away because of the barakah of these tasbihat. Many ulama, many scholars, including Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, Alama Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, these are very big names in our ummah. They have written that because of this hadith, we learn that if anyone has the habit of reciting these tasbihat before going to sleep, Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times, then because of the barakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of their worldly tasks. Allah ta'ala's assistance, help, barakah, madad, afiyat will be there. That person won't feel tired. And even Allah ta'ala will give them quwwat, a ruhani quwwat, a barakah in their day, a barakah in their work. Now this is all of us we can experience this, we can try this. And these are the days to try. These are the days in which we can inculcate this practice. We can jumpstart ourselves and make a daily regimen of reciting these tasbihat after our salah. Right? So five farais after our salah, we recite these tasbihat. And then before going to sleep, have a regimen of reciting these tasbihat. Then inshallah, we'll be able to experience the barakah of these tasbihat in our own life. But normally what happens? We complete our salah and we're in a hurry, a rush to rise up and go back. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. That there are two qualities that whoever does amal on these two things, that person will be made to enter into Jannah. And both these things are very easy for a person to do. However, there are very few people who do these things. And one of them is that to recite these tasbihat after every salah, 10 times. To 10 times to recite Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar after every salah. And the second amal is that before going to sleep, to recite these tasbihat 33 times, 33 times, and 34 times. So when the Prophet ﷺ said this, one sahabi, he asked that, Ya Rasulullah, said, why are you saying that people who do amal on these two things are very few? So the Prophet ﷺ explained that when it's time for salah, and the time when people complete their salah, then shaitan appears. And shaitan says that you have to go tend to that need, and you have this task that you have to complete. So a person doesn't get time to recite these tasbihat. They just simply complete their salah, get up, and they leave because of shaitan. And in a similar way, when it's time for sleep, again, a person starts thinking about this thought, that thought, and they're not able to recite these tasbihat because of shaitan, and they go to sleep without reciting. So we understand that shaitan deprives us of these tasbihat. So we have to be aware. We have to make this niyat, make this pledge, promise to Allah, and use the barakah of these days of Zilhajjah to inculcate this practice in our daily life. Then, the second practical amal comes in another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ established another deed which is extremely beneficial for these days, and that is fasting. Fasting for the first 10 days, excluding the Eid, the first fasting in the first 9 days. And in Tirmidhi, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayh, in his book of hadith, he mentioned this hadith there. And just listening to the words of this hadith, we can understand how powerful the fast of the first 10 days of Zilhajjah are. So the Prophet ﷺ said that one fast in this particular set of days, you know, the first 9 days, is equivalent in a reward to the fast of 1 year. 1 year. Now you can imagine, subhanallah, how powerful that fast must be. That one fasting for 1 day is equivalent to 1 year. And then the Prophet ﷺ took it one step further. In the same hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that praying a night during the first 10 nights of Zulhajjah, any of these nights, is equivalent in value to praying in the night of Laylatul Qadr. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Fasting during the day, one fast equivalent to the fasting of 1 year, and doing ibadat during the night, that's equivalent to Laylatul Qadr. Yani, what favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed over us, that we are in our homes, we can get the great, great sawab of these days, which surpasses everything. The great honorable ibadat of jihad. We just did this hadith. They're not even jihad for the sake of Allah. These are praiseworthy deeds that we can do. And fasting. The value of fasting during these 9 days, for each fast, we're getting the sawab of 1 year. So if we keep the fast of the first 9 days, we will obtain the sawab of fasting for 9 years. Allahu Akbar. And we should try to do ibadat during the night. The nights are also extremely valuable. The ibadat of each of these nights is equal to the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. Just the word Laylatul Qadr teaches us how great these nights are. In the month of Ramadan, no one knows for sure which is Laylatul Qadr. It could be the 21st, 23rd, or 27th, or 25th, or the 29th. However, in these nights of Zilhajjah, we get the reward of Laylatul Qadr on each night that is spent in Ibadah. And we get it for sure. There's no doubt here. For every night is Laylatul Qadr. And then despite such great rewards that Allah Ta'ala is offering to us, then how many of us make qadr of these nights? So we should appreciate the value of each night. In Ramadan, we ask different people that, can you tell us which night is Laylatul Qadr? We want to know because we want to get the tremendous reward that is mentioned in Hadith. You have to seek out Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan, searching. In Zulhajjah, we are informed by the Prophet ﷺ directly that the ibadat of each of these nights is equal to the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. But we don't appreciate this. So giving life to our nights in these first 10 nights of Zulhajjah, spending some portion of the night in ibadah, in salah, in zikr, in dua, in tawbah, in tilawat-e-Quran. Any ibadah, we should try to increase our ibadah. And for beginners, the basic ibadat of this night, yani this is how we should begin our night. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah has written that the basic ibadah of night is that perform Isha with the Jama'at and perform Fajr with the Jama'at. And if a person does this, then the entire night will be recorded as ibadat for that person. Because the Prophet said in a hadith that he who attends Isha in Jama'at is as if he has performed Salat for the half of the night. And he who attends Isha and Fajr in Jama'at is as if he has performed Salah for the whole night. So if a person wishes to engage in more, right? So then we begin with this. Begin with the Fajr and Isha in Jamaat. And then after that, you add your own ibadat. Increase, pray 2 rakat salate toba, 2 rakat salate haja, perform 2 rakat salate shukr, perform salate tasbih, and other nafil salah. Engage in tilawat-e Quran. Increase your istighfar, increase in durood and salawat, increase in dua, increase in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can try to wake up a little earlier, eat sehri, and we can also pray tahajjud salah at that time, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. So again, this shows us the value of these days. And the value is the number one. These days are very, very beloved to Allah Ta'ala. And very, very special mercy of Allah Ta'ala descends upon His creation in these days. So much so that people who go for Hajj, when they come back, they're forgiven. If they perform the Hajj with sincerity, with proper adab, Allah Ta'ala returns them as completely clean, new individuals. And again, this is all from the barakah of these days. So the general principle that is established is that you should do as much good as you can in these 10 days and 10 nights. And you can only do that if you are conscious of the importance of these 10 days, if you feel these 10 days. So all of us, we should sit and we should think that I've started these 10 days and nights, and I only have 10 days and nights, maybe for some of us, 9 days left. I need to maximize these 10 days. And then plan out your life accordingly so that you can take advantage of the power that exists in these days. And we mentioned some practical ways, right? Recite. Simplest way is to recite your tasbihat after every salah, before going to sleep. Fast during the day. Increase your ibadat during the night. The best way is just to sit down and think of as many good deeds as you can do. Imagine if you knew that this night was Laylatul Qadr. What kind of night would that be for you? What would you do in that night? And we here we don't have one Laylatul Qadr, you have 9, 10 Laylatul Qadrs. Huh? 9 Laylatul Qadrs still to go. So do as many good deeds, as many dua. Try to increase your ibadat. And then within these 10 days, the Prophet established a certain extra fadila for one of those days, and that is the day of Arafah. That is the day of Arafah, which is the ninth day of these 10 days. It's the ninth of Zilhajjah. And the Prophet established a very special benefit for that particular day, and that is the Prophet told us that fast on that day, fast on the day of Yawmi Arafah. And whoever fasts on that day of Yawmi Arafah, that fast of one day will become a kafara for 1 year of previous sin and 1 year of future sin. So you can imagine how broad the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is and the power of that fast is. And this is mentioned in the book of Imam Tirmidhi Rahmatullah. And in fact, the Prophet actually says that I hope that this fasting on the day of Arafah will be a kafara for 1 year of previous sins and 1 year of future sins. And if the Prophet is expressing his hope based on the incredible mercy of Allah, it's a very, very powerful day. And that's why, according to the ulama, it's mustahab, it's desirable, something that is pleasurable to Allah Ta'ala, that we fast on the ninth day. Ideally, we should fast on the first 9 days at a stretch, completely, all 9 days. But then within those 9 days, the ninth day is very, very special. And the reason why it's very special is because that's the day when the people are in Arafah and extreme mercy showers upon them on that particular day. So we are basically catching the little drifts of that mercy. But it's a very powerful day. Those who are not able to go, they should still observe that day, Yawmi Arafah, by fasting, by making more and more ibadah on that day, more and more dua on that day. And we should be feeling that day. And in fact, not just the ninth, these are the whole first 10 days of Zilhajjah. It begins by feeling these days. It begins by thinking that what is happening in these days. And what is happening in these days is Makkah Mukarramah, Hajj. We should be lost in thoughts about Khane Kaaba, Baitullah Sharif, Makkah Mukarrama, Muzdalifa, Mina, Arafah, Madina Tayyiba. That's what we should be thinking about. Those who have been there, they should be thinking about those places. Those who haven't been there, they should also be thinking. And when you're thinking constantly about those places, then you can use those things in your du'as as well. So for example, we can make du'a to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, in this night, in this moment, Allah Ta'ala, so many of your lovers have gathered in this assembly of love and muhabbat that you have gifted upon them in the form of Hajj. And Allah, they're asking from you, they're imploring you, they're begging you, they're crying to you, they're doing sajda to you. Some of them are doing tawaf around your Kaaba. Some of them are doing ziyara of your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, I'm here in my room, in my home, in my city, but my heart is with them. And Allah, adorn my heart with the same thing that you're adorning their hearts with. Allah, beautify my heart with the same feelings with which you're beautifying their hearts with. Allah, illuminate my heart with that same noor with which you're illuminating their hearts with. Allah, polish my hearts in the same way as if the way you're polishing their hearts. Just like you're forgiving them, Allah, forgive me too. And this is perhaps the most important thing that we wanted to mention tonight, that we should be connected. We should be connected, we should be feeling and thinking about these days. So then in summary, there are a few acts that we have mentioned that we are meant to do, those who are not going for Hajj. Number one, we should increase in our tasbihat. Number two, we should fast during the first 9 days, because each fast is like fasting for 1 year, and fasting of Yom Arafah is for 2 years, right? It will be a compensation for the sins of 2 years, one previous, one future. And number three, we should do extra worship in the first 10 nights, because doing ibadah is like doing ibadah on Laylatul Qadr. Then there is another deed that is mandatory for us in these 10 days. It doesn't necessarily become mandatory during these 10 days. It becomes mandated on the Eid day. But it requires some planning beforehand, and that is sacrifice. Sacrificing an animal for the sake of Allah. This is mandatory on every adult male or female Muslim as an individual who possesses the value of 635 grams of silver. And if they have enough, so they have some surplus beyond their daily needs, and if they have that much excess wealth, then it becomes mandatory for that individual to sacrifice the animal in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is something which each of us should keep in mind, and each of us should begin to plan this now. And the ideal is that you try to do the sacrifice yourself. The sacrifice is also a way that brings a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should make this sacrifice with the right spirit. Right spirit, that we are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at the cost, not looking at the money. Allah ta'ala is looking at the taqwa, the piety that is there inside the heart with which a person is performing this sacrifice. And this sacrifice is a practice which goes all the way back to the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And this was in the Sharia of every Nabi thereafter. However, the sacrifice that we do that is known to us is that famous sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Once the Sahaba Ikram, they asked the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, what is this Qurbani? And the Prophet replied that this is the sunnah of your father, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then they asked that, what benefit do we derive from this? The Prophet answered that there is a reward for you for every hair of the sacrificed animal. Then they asked that, What reward is there for animals with wool? Wool, right? There's no hair, there is wool. So the Prophet replied that there is a reward for every fiber of the wool. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So this was the sunnat of the Prophet sallallahu. When the Prophet sallallahu was in Madinah Tayyibah, as soon as the khutbah of the Eid Salah was completed, he would immediately proceed to slaughter his animal. And that's the Prophet sallallahu attached so much importance to Qurbani. He never missed it. And it comes in a riwayah that, the ideal is that you should do the sacrifice with your own hand. Because before the blood of that animal touches the floor, all the sins of that person are forgiven. So this is extremely beloved deed to Allah Ta'ala. And we sacrifice this animal for the sake of Allah. This becomes an act of ibadah. And it also, we are honoring the sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and in that way we're doing amal on this following millat Ibrahim. We're following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're obeying the commands of Allah and also doing following millat Ibrahim. So in conclusion then, we realize that this is a month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending extra sawab, extra virtue, extra merit, extra reward on these particular days, and a believer should respond. We should be feeling this month. We should use this time to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what Allah ta'ala wants from us. That's why Allah ta'ala has gifted us with this opportunity. Allah wants that when He sends this extra sawab and reward for acts that are done on these days and nights, a moment should respond by feeling more extra special, by becoming more extra conscious, by becoming more meticulous about our ibadat in these days. So our response to these ayat and these ahadith mubarakah, it should be that these days, 10, 13 days that are coming, we have to maintain these feelings. And I have to try to make the most of these days. Maybe the weekend is coming up. Take some time out to connect ourselves to the Hujjaj. Take some time out for ibadah, for your du'as, for your reflection, for your zikr. Link yourself closer to Allah Ta'ala in these days. Allah Ta'ala has made it easier for us that we can reconnect ourselves back to Allah Ta'ala. And if nothing else, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is providing us a window, an opening, an opportunity, a gateway to come close to Him. So we have to make use of them if you're sincere, right? If anyone wishes to draw close to Allah Ta'ala, this is the time. Just like in the dunya, if someone wants to meet someone and they come close to that person, and then that person gives them a time and an appointment, right? And then if this person doesn't show up at that appointed time, we will say that that person was not sincere. Likewise, if a person wants to come close to Allah Ta'ala, if a person is saying that, "Ya Allah, I want to draw close to you. I've been making this dua to increase in my love for you, to increase in my taalluq with you, to leave my sins. I want to purify my heart. I want to recharge my qalb." So if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has provided us with these days, and if He let them go, it means that we are not sincere. This is the moment. This is the moment of sincerity. How sincere we are in our talab for Allah Ta'ala. How sincere we are in our desire, in our want for Allah. This is the moment which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has provided us. So some of us can attend some gathering, try to connect ourselves to good people, righteous people, so that we can connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these days and nights are an incredible opportunity of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of us for ibadah and worship in these coming 10, 12, 13 days. May Allah Ta'ala connect us to Him and keep reconnecting us such that we never get disconnected from Him. And those of us who have yet to offer our Fard Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us, grant all of us the tawfiq and the ability to go there in the best of ways, in the best of manners, in such a state and in such a year that Allah ta'ala has decreed and accepted for us. May Allah ta'ala call us to Him only when we would be pleasing to Him and He would be pleased with us. And those who have offered their Fard Hajj, may Allah ta'ala accept that Hajj from us, and may Allah ta'ala enable us to continually visit Makkah Mukarrama and Madinah Tayyibah throughout our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll end with a short dua. Subhana rabbil al wahhab, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. Rabbana zalamna anfusana وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا الله يا رب كريم, ظلمنا أنفسنا. Allah, we have done zulm on ourselves. Allah, we have wronged ourselves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we ask that you forgive us for all the sins that we have done, for all the sins that we remember, for all the sins that we have forgotten. Allah, we ask that you forgive us for all the hukukullah, and for all our hukukul ibad. Allah, grant us the ability, the tawfiq, that we can rectify our loose ends. We can rectify our relationship with you. We can rectify our relationship with people around us, with your makhluk. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you accept this tawbah from all of us. Allah, grant us ability to make tawbah tun nasuh. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, whatever distance that has come between us and you because of our sins, Allah, we ask you by your rahmat that you remove that distance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you by your rahmat that you draw us close to towards yourself. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us to increase in our ibadat in these days, to increase in our worship in these days, to excel in our ibadat in these days, to increase in our zikr, in our remembrance, in our awareness and consciousness of you in these days, to be able to stay away from all those things that are displeasing to you in these days and nights. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us tawfiq to increase in our tasbihat, to increase in our fasting, to increase in our ibadat during the night, to increase in our tilawa, increase in our istighfar, our durud and salawat, to increase in our dua, to increase in all the khair and all the good deeds, all the ibadat that are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you have given us this opportunity once again to come close to you. Allah, we ask you that you grant us the tawfiq that we can maximize on this opportunity, we can capitalize on this opportunity, on this moment. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we want to be sincere in our relationship with you. Allah, for so long we have proven ourselves to be insincere. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you remove the insincerity from our hearts. Allah, remove the hypocrisy from our hearts. Allah, remove the two-facedness from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are sick and tired of leading such a life that is distant from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you that you remove us from this life. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us a life of taqwa and tahara. Grant us a life that is pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you accept all of us. Allah, to renew our iman in these nights and days. Allah, to renew and revive our taqwa in these nights and days of Zilhajjah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, these days and nights are so beloved, so blessed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you allow us to benefit from the barakah and the blessings of these nights and days. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that the barakah that you have kept in these days, let that barakah seep into our life as well. Let that barakah seep into our heart as well. Let that barakah seep into our amal as well. Let that barakah seep into our iman as well. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us people of Kamil Iman. Allah, accept us with a revival and renewal of Iman. Allah, grant us Kamil Mukammal Iman. Allah, accept us with the halawat of Iman, the sweetness of Iman, the taste of Iman, the lazzat of Iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, grant us the noor and the power and the strength of Iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove all the shukuk and shubhat from our hearts. Allah, remove all the doubts from our hearts. Remove all the uncertainties about the deen from our hearts. Allah, grant us sharai sadr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make our iman pakka. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us ilmul yakin, ainul yakin, haqqul yakin. Allah, we live in a time of fitna. There are so many fitnas from within the Muslim ummah. So many fitnas from outside the Muslim ummah. Allah, we ask you that you safeguard our iman in this zamana. Allah, safeguard our iman in this condition. Ya Rabbi Kareem, safeguard our iman. Protect our iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to live a life on this iman, to die on this iman. Allah, grant us the strength of iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you accept us, Ya Allah, to be amongst those who are beloved to you. Allah, include our names amongst the muhibbin, the mahbubin, Allah, the muhsineen, the mukhlisin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ignite the flame of your muhabbat in our hearts. Allah, make us love you more than any other love that we have. Allah, remove all the unlawful loves from our hearts. Remove all the impermissible loves from our hearts. Remove all the love for ghayrullah from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, fill our hearts with one love, and that one love should be love for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, purify our hearts of everything else. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabba. Allah, grant us intensity in our muhabbat for you. Allah, grant us shiddat in our muhabbat for you. Allah, grant us rusukh in our muhabbat for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us yaksui, oneness in our muhabbat for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, we ask you that you put our names amongst the mahbubin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for your marifat. Accept us for your ma'iyya. Enable us to feel the sweetness of your intimacy, the sweetness of your closeness, the sweetness of your proximity of your qurb. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you include our names also amongst the muqarrabin, those who have been brought near to you by yourself. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we present ourselves to you tonight. Ya Allah, we ask you that you change us, Ya Allah, and make us in such a way that we become pleasing to you. Allah, we present ourselves to you. Allah, we ask that you accept us, Ya Allah, in these blessed nights and days. Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Allah, grant each and every one of us qubuliya. Allah, grant each and every one of us qubuliya. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for the khidmat of this deen. Allah, accept us for the revival of deen in our own lives, in the lives of people around us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, use us for the sake of this deen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for tajdeed deen, for tajdeed sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever difficulties and obstacles lie in this way, Allah, we ask you that you remove those difficulties and obstacles. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you connect us back to you, and Ya Allah, that you keep us connected to you. Ya Allah, whatever pious intentions any one of us have in our hearts, Allah, we ask you that you accept those intentions from all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever khair the Prophet ﷺ asked from you, Allah, we also ask you for that khair. Allah, bless us with that khair and goodness in our lives. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever shar the Prophet ﷺ took your refuge in, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we also seek refuge from all those things, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you for your protection. We ask you for your hifazah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept these du'as from all of us. Allah, whatever we have asked, Allah, we ask you that you grant us better than what we can ask from you. Allah, whatever we should have asked from you but we weren't able to ask, Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us those ni'mati as well. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayr khalqihi muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.